Hi, this is Joe Berger. I listen to Ron Amatron, Creation Light Ship Healing.
Everybody, I guess we're in. Oh, Carrie, are you out there?
Yes, I'm out here. Hi, Ron, and good evening, everybody. Paranormal Fridays with Creation Lightship and Ron Amatron. I'm trying to close some windows here on my computer because it's gotten itself a little too hot today. And there we go. Okay, so it's April the 20th already, somehow. 2012, Friday. And are we doing the Q&A tonight, Ron? I forgot to ask you before we came on here.
Yeah, we can do that, no problem.
All righty. So, if you guys would like to write this down, and then we'll give the number out again toward the end of the show. let's see, we're on our 559 number, and I'm looking through my snowstorm of post-its. Here we go. 559-546-1301, and then the pin for tonight, and this is about an hour from now, top of the hour, a little after, the one-hour conference call Q&A that Ron has for us on Friday night. So the pin is 50-63-99 and the pound sign, 506-399 and the pound sign. And so let's have a look here. So we have Mike, I guess, is asking about his sore foot. Ron, I have the same sore foot my grandfather had. Is that from the entity, that I guess it was him, the ghost of him, the emotional body of him? You did your entity clearing
call today.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that could
today,
be very possible.
So.
Grandfather had. Well, that means possibly his grandfather is maybe not living, or if he is living, he had a sore foot. So, yeah, very possibly. Do you have any mannerisms, Mike, like your grandfather, you know? Just see if there's anything else besides that one particular problem. I'd be curious to find out. So let me know that, and then we'll see if we can do a clearing to see if we can get that emotional body released from the foot. And we'll just see what else comes up here.
Okay, well, we have another entity question from Cammie while we wait to hear from Mike. And Cammie is asking, what causes entities to attach to us?
Oh, that's a good question. Aha. Remember, they need life force to live on. So if there's no people around, they would have problems. And they'd probably try to hop on each other to get the strongest energy off one of the other entities, but basically they need the energy to live on, number one. And number two, they're lonely. You have to realize that, you know, what would you do if you got abandoned by all of your friends, you know, and the body that you're in? So there's a movie, couple movies about that. I think maybe Robin Williams is in one of those, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, it's a movie where, you know, the person dies and the entity is still looking around and trying to talk to people and realizing that, you know, they don't think that they're dead yet, but they can't do anything. They can't move anything. You're very frustrated. So basically, it's the entity's looking for a host, probably after they get rid of their anger of losing the body. And that can also turn into sadness. I would imagine, you know, it's like the fear versus anger, you know. Sadness also can turn into anger. But that's, you have to realize they don't have a place to go to anymore, because they're the one that they lived with for their whole life. Is dead. and the body's not moving anymore. So they look around for people with similar traits because they know those traits. Whether it's, you know, the sore foot or, you know, maybe the person's a chain smoker. And the entity is the person who died of maybe lung cancer. They couldn't give up their cigarettes. And so now they're looking around for somebody else who's a chain smoker or somebody who maybe smokes the same brand, and then they turn that person into a chain smoker. But basically, they're lonely, and they need a body. Then they have other friends, because then they can talk to the other entities that come into the friends of the person, and that's kind of how the thing is. So it's another, a whole different life that's behind the scenes that goes on with the entities. I hope I answered that question. You don't want them.
Mm-hmm.
They will have you do weird things at times. Oh, and that's probably where you got the phrase, you know, the devil made me do it, you know? Or I didn't do that. And that's because you didn't do it. Whoever's talking at that time didn't do that. You might have recall of doing it, but maybe not. So back to you, Carrie.
All righty.
Oh, yeah, What Dreams May Come. That's the name of the movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could watch that movie if you want, and that's, a good way of kind of seeing things, you know, what really happens. It's the whole thing is, life here is strange.
Oh, boy.
So, did the Doors have that song, People Are Strange?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I almost burst into song there, but I'm going to refrain.
Anyway, that's the way it is here. So, you know, you have your own self too that you have to worry about, plus whatever else hops into you that's, you know, driving your bus, you know. You have a lot of backseat drivers. So I guess back to you, Carrie. We can have callers tonight, but tonight
okay.
is our paranormal, so, you know, talk about an experience, if you call up, that you have had. With dealing with people, you know, or dealing maybe, you know, if you saw a UFO, maybe you, you know, maybe you happen to know the lady that I talked about yesterday. I think I talked about a lady that was in New Mexico whose car was abducted, and I could probably talk about it now. So here we go. Met this lady a long time ago. I don't know, 20 years, I guess, something like that. Could have been longer, but it was quite a while ago. And she saw me and started talking about abductions and stuff. And I was then, like I am now, able to go up on the ships to view what happened, you know. So she says, yeah, these aliens gave me cancer. And it's painful, but they say it really probably will not kill me. That's what they told her. And that she's their experiment, and she can't get rid of the cancer because they keep abducting her all the time and, you know, check her out. And so it started off, I guess, where she was driving her Volvo out of a gas station, she said, came to, like, a stop sign or signal or something. And then she kind of blacked out. And when she came to, her car was in front of, like, a little small grocery store, 7-Eleven or something like that. In the front of it, her windshield was broken. She had her seatbelt on, but she had no marks on her body in order to break the window, like if her head would have hit the window, you know, the windshield, you know, or maybe even, you know, could have hurt her chin if she would have hit the steering wheel, you see. But she had no marks on her body, no pain. And, you know, she kind of comes out of this daze and goes, oh, man, what happened, you know? And then she gets out of her car, looks at the front of it. The headlights are bashed in, the grill's bashed in, the bumper's bashed in, the car's smoking of steam, leaking water all over the place. So she goes to the, I guess, 7-Eleven or whatever's there and gets the phone and says, you know, was there any car accidents in this location here? So I think I've been in a car accident. Was there a hit and run or something? I don't know what happened. I feel, you know, kind of a little dazed, but, you know, what happened? And the police said, oh, no, there's been no accidents called in. So the policeman came out there, I guess, and talked to her. And he told her that in New Mexico there, This happens all the time where they have abductions. Now, I don't know if he used the word abductions or not. Very possibly he could have. And he said, just call your insurance company. They know all about this stuff, and they'll cover your car for you. So then she wanted to know from me what happened. So what happened was that she approached leaving the gas station. She came maybe to the corner or something, was going to turn or whatever. And at that point, she got abducted. But the car was still in gear. And the car went up to the UFO, the ship, and they, the aliens, dropped her onto the floor of the UFO. And the car, I think, was in second gear, and it's probably going 20 miles an hour, right? And it takes off and was going to hit the side of the UFO, which is what it did. But in the meantime, the aliens, I saw one of them jump in front of her, squeeze itself between her, the steering wheel and the windshield. And so when the car hit the side of the UFO, it stopped, and the alien actually broke the window. But she was fine. And then I guess they did their experimentation with her, the probing or whatever they do. Then they beamed her back down in a different location, not the same one naturally, because the car was probably in bad shape. They didn't want to leave her there. They put her on the side of the road, and that's when she came to. So that was her experience. And her experience is the fact that the aliens abduct her. I would think by now she's probably dead, because she was older than me by probably about 15, 20 years. And having cancer isn't too good, but she says that they somehow abducted her one time, told her that she's going to be their cancer specimen, and they're going to check her out for cancer. They gave her cancer, and they wanted to see how it worked in her body. And she had no free will, free choice, and said, I don't want to have this. They said that they'll try to keep the pain low or something on it, so, you just be our specimen. What alien race it was, I'm not sure. So if anybody asked that, I don't know which one it was, but that was her experience. That's one of many that I only bring up if I were to even start to think about things about that. I could probably talk more about paranormal stuff. Seeing, I call them pickle jars, in a sense. This is where you see the little babies, the fetuses in these jars. Some movies kind of showed them off and on. They have like little umbilical cord attached to them. Some of them have like bubbles in them. Some have like green water. Some of these could be like maybe 5-gallon containers. They look like glass. I've seen those on some of the ships here. I won't get into them eating people. That's too gross. You name it, I probably have seen it or worked with these energies to get them out of here. That's kind of intriguing. One lady I brought, she thought that she had babies out there, young children, and I think she had about 7 of them. And so I was able to connect her with the children. The alien race didn't seem too hostile, even though they're going against free will, free choice. But she wanted to see her children, so they managed to do that connection. She really loved it, because she knew that she had a family, these children. Who the husband was, I have no idea. I didn't ask that question. She never asked it either. If it was sperm, we'll say, hypothetically, from an alien, other race, or if it was, a boyfriend or something, and they abducted the children, I don't know. But the children looked really nice, and they were very, very healthy. I'd seen them. So I have had that experience a couple of times. One lady I worked with quite a while ago, again, this is probably in... I don't know, I would say at least 10 years ago or so, she had a rib cage of a dog, and that was quite interesting. She showed that to me.
Wow.
And they had, I don't understand this too much, but they said every night they had a black helicopter sometimes show up over their house, which was kind of weird. And then they kind of switched it over to, like, they had helicopters show up also with lights, and maybe they it was just an alien ship posing as a helicopter. So the one, they had two daughters. The younger daughter had the ribcage of the dog, and the mother knew that she'd been abducted many, many, many times. The other daughter that was older was completely freaked out, and so she, they would leave all the lights on the house, and she would stay up at night and not go to bed, and she slept in the daytime. And the other lady, the younger one, you know, was probably about 16 at the time, and she, you know, was in the, had a boyfriend and stuff, and she lived kind of a normal life, but she had a weird, oh, that's another story that I have. I think we got a beep, so I hope this is a good paranormal question. So we'll see who's on.
Hi, who's out there?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. To speak to Ron.
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Andrea, and I'm calling from the Caribbean.
Oh, hi, Andrea. I was about to read your question next. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I have done the death barcode and the stress barcode and also the emotional body clearing, but I'm suffering from extreme fear and anxiety at the moment. Is there any recommendations that Ron can give to me?
Okay. What kind of, you might do timeline crashing on that anxiety, because the anxiety is probably bringing you into fear.
Yes.
Okay. A timeline crash may be helpful.
Timeline.
Is it deal with another person in your life, or is it a situation?
Hello?
Is it a situation, or is it a person that's giving you the anxiety and fear?
A situation. I'm just scared all the time about my health.
Oh, okay.
I feel as though I'm having a heart attack, which I
know
I'm not.
Okay, that might be one of the alien critters you see here. Yeah, okay. Ready?
Yes.
Yeah. It's I'm taking it out right now for you. Hopefully there's only one of these here. Let's see here. Coming out. It almost feels like an implant to me because I have to move my hand a certain way.
Okay.
Here, it's out. How's it feel now?
I'm okay at the moment.
Okay, you feel your body get relaxed at all, or do you feel different? To your body, to see how your body is responding.
A little, just a little.
Hey, is it better?
Yes.
Okay, let me look again here. Okay, just a little bit of residue here. Yeah, that's being released. Okay. Yeah, send me an email. Let this settle in a little bit. It should be probably okay, I think.
Okay.
Kind of look like, you want me to tell you what it looked like?
Yes.
Okay. It kind of, you know how it had like little feet on it, and it was kind of like a tick. But
uh-huh.
It had, where the feet were, it had like little pinchers. So it's kind of like stuck on you. And I had to take it out like an implant. I moved my hand a certain way, kind of like if you like turn the dials like on a safe, you know, how you get different numbers and you turn it back and forth, you know. So I had to move my hand back and forth many, many times to release this thing, and then it popped off.
Okay.
That's kind of what it looked like to me. And it was all over the front of your heart. It was probably about a 3-inch diameter body with the legs on it. I don't want to freak you out, but that's why I asked if you wanted to know what it looked like.
I hope they've all gone.
Yeah, I don't see anything more there.
Okay, thank you very much.
Hey, you're welcome.
Andrea, were you in what you typed into the fast chat? I thought that you were saying that your fear was coming after you did the death barcodes and the stress barcodes. Is that when the fear came, or it was before?
It was, I had it before I did those.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, well, thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
From the Caribbean.
Thank you very much for your help.
Hey, you're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so.
All right. So we've got some questions from Janice about entities that we were talking about earlier, and then Ron, you've just been talking about different abduction experiences, and Bruce has a question about that. So I'll do Bruce's question first, and then we'll do Janice's entity questions. So Bruce is asking what is the best way to stop abductions? Oh, Abby.
It's hard to stop them. The alien attack page is one way that you can at least do something. I guess instead of the word stop, what's the best way to help to eliminate, you know, these? And that would be how I would answer that. But I can't guarantee it's going to stop them, because with the aliens, you know, they're still in control. So nothing is finalized. They can still creep in whatever you do. But you can have relief. I think we have a beat there.
Yeah, somebody else on the line?
Hi, this is Ariel.
Hi, Ariel, did you say?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Do you have a question for Ron?
I do. I was told years ago that I might have some remote viewing capabilities. And so I took a class, and I have to admit, I was really pretty terrible at it. And a few days later, I found myself flying cross-country, and it was a long flight. I felt really weird. I felt like I had this beam of light coming out of my third eye, and it was like I could flash it around the plane or something. But I was very tired, and it was very weird. And so as I was coming into the landing at Orange County Airport, I was by the window section, and I kind of glanced out the window, and it looks like there's a big freeway that goes right by that airport, and it's like, you know, 10 lanes of traffic, and it looked like it was all military transport vehicles, and I was very startled, because that's normally not what's on there. It's always commuter traffic, and so the plane landed, and I just kind of felt like there was some kind of commotion on the plane kind of thing, and it was, you know, like I didn't remember anything anymore. And so I'm not on that freeway all the time, but I'm sometimes on that freeway, and I just wonder, sometimes I feel really creepy, and it's like, am I sharing the road with, you know, the local military? There's so many military bases around this area.
Good question. So let's see here. So did the... Isn't Camp Pendleton down there? Is that by the John Wayne Airport or something?
Yeah, it's probably about 50 miles south. And I get a lot of different vibes from Camp Pendleton. But, yeah, there's also March Air Force Base to the east. And to the north, there's Edwards Air Force Base, which is really scary. And then there's Vandenberg Missile Base, too. But, yeah,
there's a lot around here.
Yeah.
So the one day that you're driving there outside in all the lanes on the freeway, was that in both directions then?
Going? It was military aircraft or military convoy, and I could see some of the military, and they didn't look human. So it was like they kind of knew that I saw them kind of thing. It was very unsettling, yeah.
Wow.
Sounds like you were viewing another timeline of this area.
Or a different dimension or, you know, kind of thing. I don't know. Because, you know, I just wonder, you know, with all the military around here, are they using the freeways and we're kind of sharing it with them? Because it's, sometimes I get a creepy feeling on that particular part.
I would say that they could have abduction points on it.
Yeah.
Where they, you know, they come in and go. That's what I call driving into the billboard, you know. So very possibly they might bring things in from a timeline that's related only to them or known by them, and then they drop them into the freeway, you know, in that area to go to where they need to go to. So that's what I would think happened. I had that similar experience yesterday. I came out the freeway going to do a left-hand turn. You know, there's no cars in the road. And all of a sudden, I get out of the turn, and I'm starting to go straight, and like 100 foot ahead of me is a truck. The truck was not there. I mean, there's no way it could have been there. And I always now look, you know, three or four times before I do anything. And I always make sure that I do a complete, you know, dead stop. You know, they have that, the old phrase, a California stop, you know, where you're just a rolling stop and you take off. Well, I always, almost always do a dead stop because I don't want something to all of a sudden pop in front of me, you know. And, yeah, sure enough, this thing did. And I go, wow, you know, it's, you know, it'd almost be as if it was, it came out of the, underneath the freeway, because I had to go underneath the freeway on a left-hand turn, and after you go underneath the freeway, then you have the on-ramp, okay, going to the freeway. So I was southbound, and the on-ramp is northbound. It would be almost as if that car came out of the, in the wrong direction on the on-ramp, you know, which is impossible.
Yeah.
You know, but that's all of a sudden it's underneath the bridge, you know, and I go, wow, this is, you know, it's like they dropped one in. Yeah, very possibly you were driving and, you know, the billboard, the hologram around you changed, and that was where they beamed the different vehicles in. And you may have got caught up in their timeline.
Yeah, well, I wasn't driving. I was flying in a commercial plane.
Oh, okay, flying, okay.
Yeah.
Looking down
and just
at it.
Looking out the window and viewing, you know, this huge,
yeah,
you know, convoy. And,
yeah. You may have seen that timeline.
Yeah.
Very interesting. They may not have thought that anybody would be flying in an airplane, you know, looking down, because it probably, you know, how many planes would there be actually flying to see that, you know?
Right.
But what I think happened is that you actually saw the area where they actually dropped him into the freeway from another timeline.
Mm.
And you were not involved at that time because you were not on the road, but you had the availability to see it from above. Boy, that could be pretty weird, you know?
There's a lot of commuters that use that 405 every day.
Yeah, I know, that's a big freeway.
It is. It's huge.
Yeah.
A while back, you told me I needed to do like 1,500 timelines for Montauk. Can you check and see if I've made any progress on that?
Yeah, you're pretty much clean out of that. You're about 95% done.
Okay. I was hoping I was getting there, and then I was going to do space time on Montauk.
Yeah, it feels like that's disconnected, yes, uh-huh.
Wow,
no,
it's
very, very close, so we're on the home stretch there.
Yay. Okay, well, thank you so much.
Back on Montauk, you want to do a clearing, I'd probably put the year in for, I get like 1943. It's only about 2 months, I get maybe like March, April, so 1943, March, April, and that should disconnect you.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't born then. My dad was in World War II.
Yeah.
Related to World War II.
It's still connected to you.
Okay, March, April, 1943?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay.
Should you just do one on that, Ron, or
I'd probably do about 50 of them, and that'd probably correct it.
Okay, great. All righty, well, thank you then.
Okay.
Thank you for calling. Interesting. So, okay. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. I don't know if you mentioned this, Ron, for Bruce's question about the best way to stop abductions. There is the abduction barcode removal. Excuse me.
That one can help in the Mind Matrix one, maybe. And then maybe even the 2,000-year barcode clearing. That one is a free one. That may help, too.
And I bet all the free, the head connector and all that stuff and the tracking and everything, I mean, that's gotta loosen up their hold on each individual. If you get that stuff off, they're not going to be so connected to us and tracking us.
Yep, that's correct. And then the NATO chart, too, with all the keywords and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
So it was simpler.
Well... Yeah, it would be good, but, you know, at least you're here, Ron, and we have these clearings.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, don't even want to think about it. So Janice, Brian actually has an abduction question, but I'll do Janice's question about entities first, which was she she's wondering if entities have always been a problem, I guess, here on Earth, and wondering also why they can't go back to the Earth themselves, why they can't do that for themselves.
Oh, that's because the aliens severed their connection to the Earth spirit.
Oh.
Remember, they severed you from Source. They severed everything else from, anything that I could go back to be reclaimed, because they want them to be floating around here. It's a great, if you look at the system, the way they created it, man, it's there's not very many loopholes, you know. They tightened everything up. Oh, what more could be better than to have an entity torment everybody and body hop generations and everything else, and then to create children even, you know? And to, if you didn't have entities here, you probably wouldn't have a lot of your problems. You still have things coming up, but whenever somebody argues with someone else, that's typically entities arguing. You know, and it can body hop from one person to the other. You wonder why that person's on the roll, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you just realize that entity came in, and they just keep putting the buttons, pushing the buttons, and playing that same old song or theme, whatever the person, you know, is choosing to bring up. Because remember, what you're bringing up is something from the past. Shouldn't live in the past. Just live in the moment. Why, you know, make a meal out of yesterday's garbage out of the trash can, you know? You want to live in the moment because the past is the past. It's already experienced. Whether it's good or bad, you know, makes no difference. Just walk away, Renee, and start over again. That's the way life should be here. But the entities bring up the past. They know how to push that button because you haven't got rid of it, and they'll look for all that stuff and that dialogue, and they're experts at this because they've been body hopping for so long. They know how to handle this reality, plus they get energy on it. And that's the whole process. They know what they're doing. And the aliens don't want them to get ever healed because, you know, they just keep moving along and tormenting people. And then that gives the aliens energies to live off of. So their whole system is quite intriguing, the way they created everything. And the common denominator is just suffering. Back to you, Carrie.
All right. So Brian has some questions about abductions and aliens and what they're doing to us, and he's wondering what the main reason is that we are abducted by aliens, and what are some of the reasons they do experiments on us. So why are they abducting us, and what's the reason for experimenting on us?
Well, some of the races, in a sense, claim that they're looking for another type of life form to breed with because maybe they need something out of the humans that they don't have. That's a possibility, you know, to experiment with another life form. It's hard to say. You know, you could say that could be one of the reasons. They just need more people. That's why we have overpopulation here. And, you know, we have overpopulation only because nobody ascended. So you can think of that one there, you know. If everybody would have ascended 2,000 years ago, this place would have no people here, and then the Earth Spirit could have brought in a new life form here. But instead, we got all the old people. All the old, crusty people are here. Oh, geez.
Oh. Thanks, Ron.
Yeah. Oh, geez. So, and then, you know, been watching movies on Netflix, bringing up stuff, you know, the old maybe black and white movies of different cultures. And it's kind of all the same theme, you know. It's about a few people have the money and all the rest of the people are slaves. And some of the people are born wealthy, they don't do anything. And if they lost their money, they would not know how to be functional in society. You know? And it's really amazing how you watch those old movies and they talk about stuff and how rough it is. You know, this is across all cultures. Want a good education, just get into Netflix and just start watching the older movies, maybe in the, you know, maybe the 20s to the 50s, and you can just see how their lifestyles were, how things are taken over and everything else. you know, when you see all different movies where the land was taken over by the people probably from England or Spain, and you can see them coming in to bring forth religion or whatever else, and the indigenous people at the time, you know, they have to be subservient and everything else, and you can just see the cultures change. It is quite interesting, but it's all that same thing, domination and control. So what's behind, you know, all the people doing this here? Who hopped into their body to take away somebody's free will, free choice? And that's what the whole thing is about. So, different day, same thing. Back to you, Carrie.
Okay, I'm just remembering there's some things that have been typed in here that's making me remember that you were going to do an enlistment tonight, and I don't remember if it was going to be, oops, sorry, I'm banging my mic, on the show or on the Q&A.
We could do it on the show here if you want.
Do you want to see if there, maybe people could type in if they want to enlist so that we know there are some there? Or do you want to just go ahead and do it? Do you, can you tell if there are?
Yeah, yeah, there are some people that would like that. So here we go.
Okay.
So if you want to enlist, you can. Basically, you're enlisted. You're going to be going into timelines into the future by being bilocated. And once you're trained, which may take up to a week, and you're going to be fighting the aliens if you choose to do that. You may be doing something else like office work. It just depends what you want to do. And from there, you're going to feel like your life's a little more rewarding than what it was before. You're going to have some kind of internal aha that, you know, you're doing something good for the planet here and everybody else on it. But you may not have any recall. If you do have recall, it might be just very slight because they're really not going to show you typically, you know, gory things. But you might actually see lasers being shot, either being shot at you or you shooting back at them. So that's what you may see. So here we go. If you want to enlist, you can. And you first have to enlist in the time-traveling founding fathers of the United States here, because they go throughout time. And they're doing this process. And then from there you can go to a particular country, if you wish, as, you know, other countries are also doing this as a multinational force to fight the aliens. So it's up to you. And you can always de-enlist whenever you choose to. So here we go. If you want to enlist, just say yes here, and you'll automatically be going into a large orientation room, I'm sure, and they'll talk to you and tell you what it's all about, maybe show you pictures and everything else, answer your questions, and you can back out whenever you choose to. And some people start fighting, going out, having a great experience, you know, within a day sometimes. So, hey, you're all enlisted if you choose to, and you can also de-enlist when you want. So it's that simple. And you may have felt the soldiers come into your room. I'll bring them in now if you want to feel them. Here they come. So 1, 2, 3. 4 and 5, they probably already showed up instantly, but your room should actually be kind of buzzing with this energy of a different dimension. It's just outside of our dimension here, and that's where they are. And they can also help sometimes to protect you from different alien attacks and things. Back to you, Carrie, if you have any comments on the fast chat here, or anybody wants to call in.
Okay. Yeah, if you'd like to call in, it's the numbers there under the Station 2 play button tonight. U.S. and Canada toll-free is 888-429-5471. And you can try, if you're not in the U.S. or Canada, area code 530-513-6472. I'm a few pages back on the fast chat trying to catch up on the questions here, Ron, and speaking of kind of fighting, there was a question from Daniel, and he's in Mexico, and he's saying he tried using a neutral weapon on a shapeshifter and the results were incredible, and he's wondering, is this okay, and should I use it again?
What kind of weapon was it? A neutral weapon. I don't know what that means. Maybe he's talking about a weapon. Maybe he's already enlisted, and he's using that from the future to fight shapeshifters, maybe.
Yeah.
So the light would be neutral. You could, yes, if that's what your question is, and if that's correct, what I'm assuming there, the answer would be yes,
Okay. Interesting. All right. And then going back into what you were talking about with Ariel when she called in, and also your story about your left turn under the freeway, Ron, Tiffany is wondering what you mean when you say something has been dropped in.
Okay, yeah. But picture yourself looking at a billboard on the side of the road as you're driving your car, and it's identically, it looks identical to what you're seeing in front of your eyes, okay? What you're doing is you're driving down the freeway, and alongside of you is this billboard, and that can be the same scene, and they can actually transport you into that scene, take you out of your storyline here, your life experience here, and put you into a fabricated life on a hologram in a timeline. Then you're no longer here, but you don't realize that or even know about it because you're already in a fabricated life, owned life. I answered that okay. And they can drop people in and drop cars in all around you if you want. It can be very, very interesting. So I'm sure a lot of people out there probably have seen this. Normally, when you see something happening and a car appears out of nowhere, you just think that you didn't see it and you know, that this is normal because maybe you're daydreaming or something and you just weren't paying complete attention. And that's what most people would tell you, that, oh, I just didn't see it, you know, but, you know, it was there, so the only reason why I didn't see it because I, you know, was thinking of something else, and I kind of blocked it out of my mind, and it was there. Well, no, it wasn't there. It just popped in, and you saw it popping in, and it wasn't there previously. So that's what they do, is drop in things from timelines. Remember, all of you out there are experts on living on timelines. You all have your PhDs on this because you're living on thousands of them. You just don't realize it. Oh, I think we have a beep there, or a caller. Is there a caller online?
Yes. Hi, Ron. Hi, Carrie. I'm Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Hi. So, yeah, I had a question for Ron, that if the aliens lose the battle by direct attack, then if they shift the battle to a covert attack,
would
the lightship have to redevelop their defense technique?
That's always ongoing, yes, Always ongoing.
Okay.
Everything changes.
What would their strategy be by a covert attack? How would that happen?
Well, they come in, the aliens could pop in your room right now, if you weren't being protected. They could pop in on a vortex and you could have 1,000 aliens all around your house and your living room right now instantly. So that's what they can do. So they don't have to really be, they're very stealth. They're not going to be crawling around, you know, hiding behind things. They just pop in.
Uh-huh.
And they can come in instantly. That's what they're warding off, is these things coming into our reality instantly here. And that's why they're out on adjacent timelines.
Oh, the light ship is on adjacent timelines with them.
The lightship is monitoring all the forces fighting. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, that's great. Okay, well, thank you, Ron.
Okay.
Thanks,
okay,
Larry.
Back to you, Carrie.
Okie dokie. Quite a few comments about the military that you brought in. Ron Craig is saying he has a wall of energy around him and it does feel protective, and several people are saying that they do want to enlist, so that's kind of something that you maybe you can explain how you state that, Ron, and also while you're talking about that, Brian is asking what is enlistment. So maybe you could first backtrack a little and mention why we're even doing this.
Well, the enlistment process is for you to just say yes that you want to fight aliens, and because the aliens are here to take over the planet. And if they came into our timeline that you're living on, then they would be destroying the planet here and taking it over. And taking it over would typically mean that this would no longer have light on it because they would take it over with darkness. So they would actually probably take the whole planet off to a fabricated dark side universe, and it wouldn't be here any longer. That's one possibility. The possibility is that aliens would be here, and they'd probably have your supermarkets and have toe tags on everybody, you know? And the aliens would come in there because they're living here, and they'd select you. Remember the movie Soylent Green? There's other ones, too, where people get a bell goes off or a horn or a siren or something. People kind of get mesmerized, and then they walk into some location, and then they're being treated as slaves, and then from there, the ones that don't perform very well get taken away. Well, then that's the food for the aliens. That's what this would probably be, is specialty stores, you know. That's the way it is. Well, they're keeping them from coming in here. So that's the enlistment process. Almost all the countries are here fighting the aliens on adjacent timelines from trying to come in here to overtake the planet. That's the bottom line. If they were to come in, then, it would be pretty awful here. There wouldn't be any military force that could actually ward these things off. I would imagine all governments may have super soldiers that could possibly help out. But, once the super soldiers get terminated, then that's it. So, regular humanity here has no defense at all for or toward these things. So anyway, that's it. That's it in a nutshell. So if you want to enlist, you can, and you have to get signed up with the constitutional forefathers, the elite forces, to start off with, and you can go to your own country of origin, if you have one, and sign up there, too. Or drop this one from the U.S. and go into another one. If you're from Argentina and you want to go there and enlist in the Argentina Special Elite Forces, then you can do that, too. And you can de-enlist whenever you choose to. So you're out there fighting with other people on the planet who have lived. Maybe they're dead now, but they're actually alive because they were taken from timelines when they were living. Drop into the future just like you're doing, would be doing, and being trained also. Oh, that's basically it. Up to you if you wish to do this. Back to you, Carrie.
Okay, and it sounds like Brian probably did enlist because he's asking, is it normal to have a sense of not connecting to surroundings after this enlistment? Am I disconnected in some way? So he's feeling an energy shift. Maybe, Ron, you could explain what that might be about.
I would say that could be a possibility. It could be part of the orientation, too. So the part of you that would normally sense energy here, maybe for a short while, may not understand what you're looking at, because maybe the other part of you will say is actually out there being trained right now. And what you have here is a small conscience of yourself, maybe. That's how I would kind of say that. And they can't change the clones. If you have a clone body there, they're not going to be running clones to them. It'll be the body that they chose, that particular clone body, when you said yes. So they're not going to be duplicating, replicating, thousands of clones like you normally would have. It'll just be one body. Otherwise, they would have no control over that particular aspect, because as multiple clones come in, they'd have different thought patterns and be controlled by different alien races. That wouldn't be good at all. Back to you, Carrie.
Okay, so we have a question from Bob. A little bit of a different topic, but kind of not really. What does it mean if you're traveling on a trip and suddenly you see scenery you have never seen before, but it does look familiar?
Well, number one, that could be deja vu. So you could be seeing it just after you were seeing it on a timeline, exact same train that you're in now or whatever. It could be that you're seeing another timeline, and it's unfamiliar to you because you haven't ever been there. And might feel familiar, as it could be similar to another timeline that you were on. Maybe they made the trees one color, and on this other fabricated timeline, they made them a different color, but it's the same scenery. That could happen, too, where you could feel familiar. Remember, every alien race does not replicate everything perfectly. We've seen that on the different decloning calls that I have. Those are on Thursday nights, and also people have seen that when I were at the different expos doing decloning. They'd see people's hair change, their color of their face would change. Their face could even change the way it looks. It could be a little rounder or just different. The clothes on the people could change colors even. And I'm not talking about, going from like a green to purple. I'm just saying that it could be a different shade of what it is. The clothes sometimes could become wrinkled or pressed. People could change heights. Everything can happen because you're being recreated over again on a different timeline by a different alien race. So, this is why, people change. If you ever woke up one day and you felt old, it's probably because maybe that alien race that worked on you gave you an older-looking body. Maybe you looked at yourself and you'd go, oh, my God, I look awful. Well, maybe that's because they didn't create you properly. They put 30 years on your life. They just had an alien who was just learning how to make bodies. You happened to be their first client. So everything can happen.
Oh man!
Maybe you looked at yourself and you screamed. Oh God, who's this? Anyway, that all can happen.
That's just life on a timeline, Ron. That's just getting old. You look at the face and it's like, how'd that happen to me?
So if you haven't been doing these calls that I have on the weekdays, the $20 calls, man, you're missing out on life, man. This is a lot of fun. It's back your energy. So, once you have one of those decloning calls or you can see it, it's great. I don't know if Ed's listening. I don't know if we, I know we had it put over onto a streaming thing, if that's saved or not. I think we had two particular streamings on my lectures that I had, and both lectures I did decloning. So maybe it could be on YouTube. I just don't know. Maybe if that's a possibility, if Ed can slide it over somehow, do that on YouTube. Or let me know. Maybe I can have one of the webmaster actually put it on YouTube, too. I don't know, but anyway, it's an idea. Back to you, Carrie.
Okay, I think it's about 55, so I want to give out the phone number and email address again for the Q&A tonight. So for those of you who, there are a few questions here that we didn't get to, and if you're going to be on the Q&A, if you want to send those in right now, and I'll read those out first. The phone number is 559-546-1301, and the PIN is 506399, and the pound sign 5063.99 pound. And then type your questions and send them over to clsquestions@yahoo.com, And just keep them short for Ron, kind of not too much longer than you can fit on the fast chat here would be great. And just pop in the subject bar that it's for Friday Q&A. And let's see. How many minutes do we have left, Ron? My computer's
I got 56, so we're probably really close.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe we better not take any more questions then.
I liked Elliot's question about people living longer and stuff. That's that is true. Well, maybe the aliens want to keep us here longer in each lifetime because they have more mileage out of us.
Yeah.
The old days, you know, 100 years ago, maybe people lived to maybe 30 or so, you know. Life was so hard. Anyway, oh, thank you, Elliot. That was a good observation. We are living longer. Oh, I guess we'll do our Q&A call here. I'll see you, everybody, in a few minutes. Thank you, Carrie. Thank you, BBS. Thank you, callers.
Thank you, Ron.
See what happens on our Q&A coming up here.
Okie dokie.
Hey, catch you later.
Bye-bye. Thanks.